is lashing out at Hillary in a way that should make every other candidate still in this race to really kind of check themselves and be put on notice. He's going to go after everybody. Whether you like him or not, not really the issue. And he is going to go after Hillary on the places, on the points where he's got traction and where she is vulnerable. And it is going to be a blood fest. I think this is going to be a maybe not a cakewalk and maybe not completely easy, but there is going to be a day of reckoning for Hillary Clinton. And I think that she is just really, if you thought that it was ugly with her and Obama when they ran, then this idea that she was, that she couldn't possibly fail. I think the it doesn't fail narrative is really broken now. And I think the thing that you're going to find out about a Trump versus a Hillary campaign, which is really what it's starting to look like right now, you're going to find that she is not just vulnerable, but when he goes in and he punches and kicks her and knocks her down, the media is really not going to be able to help her, because what Trump does is he finds a vulnerability and he just seems to have this almost crazy ability to find the exact way to put things to expose the weakness. Anyway, good morning. It's 6:08 on the 22nd. We're rolling into Christmas here real fast, and there's a lot of activity in the studios getting ready for Christmas. And you know, there's various people that I know that are out of town, and things are grinding down a little bit around here, except at the post office, of course, where you can't really hope to get in and out without spending a half of an hour. And we've got the situation, the story from Santa Fe, where the governor was in a room partying, and it is reported that there were people that were throwing bottles out the window, and there was a lot of noise. And so we played the recording of that yesterday just to get your reaction. And she has come out and apologized. Although she did say the bottles that were thrown were actually, I think, snowballs. But be that as it may, I've got a little clip for you here of Donald talking to, what's this guy's name, Matt Lauer. And I thought typical the way that Lauer approached it. And I think it's really a kind of an illustration of the problems that we have with the media. There's a lot of people that are over the media. The mainstream media is shrinking in importance, but at the same time, people that are still totally committed to the mainstream media project, people like Matt Lauer, who don't seem to be able to learn their lesson. I thought, I've got this clip from Lauer interviewing Trump, and I just thought it was shameful that the way that Matt Lauer tried to make it all about Trump when he didn't even really listen to what was going on. Check this out.
Good morning.
Let's talk about this criticism. You fired right back at Hillary Clinton after the debate on Saturday night. She said that your words on this ban of Muslims entering the country have become ISIS's best recruiting tool, that they're actually showing people videos of your comments. You said there's no proof, there's no tape. Thus, she is a liar and lies a lot. But don't you open yourself up to the very same criticism when it comes to your claims that thousands of Muslims celebrated on 9/11. There is no tape. There is no proof. So are you guilty by your same standard?
Well, first of all, there is proof, because many people saw that happen, Matt, as you know. It was written about in the Washington Post and numerous other places. I've been totally exonerated from.
Totally exonerated. Anyway, I'll get that clip back up. This computer just very good job of it. And so, you know, I mean, I think the upshot here is that, and I do have that clip for you right here, but I think the upshot is that people, we've reached a point where we're saturated with media, and we've gone from having the mainstream media that was delivered to us decades ago to being in the midst of a transition where everybody has media, everybody can choose their own media. You can get news off of Google News. You can get it out of Yahoo. You can get it out of Fox or CNN, and you can get it instantly. And you also, I think people are more and more aware of how news is made, as opposed to it just kind of came out of this magic studio. You know, people used to think that individuals would show up with cameras and record something and then just play that on the air, and that as if there's no such thing as editing. So here is this clip between the Donald and Matt Lauer. And I thought Matt Lauer was especially exposed as a person who didn't have any interest in the story that he was covering and was only trying to make the Donald look bad, which doesn't seem to work out for a lot of people. But check this out.
My phone now, Mr. Trump. Good morning. Good talking to you.
Good morning.
Let's talk about this criticism. You fired right back at Hillary Clinton after the debate on Saturday night. She said that your words on this ban of Muslims entering the country have become ISIS's best recruiting tool, that they're actually showing videos of your comments. You said there's no proof, there's no tape. Thus, she is a liar and lies a lot. But don't you open yourself up to the very same criticism when it comes to your claims that thousands of Muslims celebrated on 9/11. There is no tape. There is no proof. So are you guilty by your same standard?
Well, first of all, there is proof because many people saw that happen, Matt, as you know. And we've written about it in the Washington Post and numerous other places. I've been totally exonerated from that. I've had headlines exonerating me and saying Trump was right. I can send you a Breitbart story. I can send you other stories. But as far as Hillary is concerned, she's always been, whether it's Whitewater or the email scandal, she always lies. And now to be saying that we're just right in the perfect spot with respect to ISIS, I don't think that's a lie. I really don't think she knows what she's doing.
Well,
she's been a mess no matter where she's been. She's created a mess. You look at her record as Secretary of State.
We can go back and forth on the
complete. Excuse me, Matt?
No, I'm saying we can go back and forth on whether there is video to prove that Muslims celebrated on 9/11. But let me ask
you
this.
Well, you can go back and forth. There's many, many, many witnesses. There have been many stories that have come out that they celebrated. And by the way, Matt,
around the world, there were comments.
They celebrated all over the world when the World Trade Center was falling down, which is disgusting.
The question
is, they also happened to celebrate in parts of New York and certainly in parts of New Jersey.
Let me move on. When you and I were at that town.
We have plenty of information on that.
When you and I were at that town hall meeting in New Hampshire a couple of months ago, I asked you about some of your controversial comments, Donald, and I went back to your own book, The Art of the Deal, where you wrote about some of the things you'd said in the past. I play to people's fantasies. I call it truthful hyperbole. It's an innocent form of exaggeration and a very effective form of promotion. So is Hillary Clinton lying, or is she taking a page out of Donald Trump's playbook?
Matt, you're talking about people dying. You're talking about making up tapes and videos which don't exist. Her spokesperson last night made the statement, and I think she said she was sorry. She said the videos do not exist. Her spokesperson said this. So what am I going to tell you? Now, I would say this, Matt. I will demand an apology from Hillary, okay? You can be the messenger. I will demand an apology from Hillary. She should apologize. She lies about emails. She lies about Whitewater. She lies about everything. She will be a disaster as president of the United States.
I will deliver that message, I promise you. Let me ask you one other question.
All right, so I think Matt Lauer is just a complete clown here. I mean, there's a claim that Donald Trump makes that's an important claim, in my opinion, whether you support him or not. The claim is that Hillary Clinton has lied, made a statement that the number one recruiting tool in the world is the statements that were made by Trump to not allow Muslims to come in the country, and that they're using it in recruiting videos as their number one thing to recruit for ISIS. And when I heard that, I just thought, you know what, that just doesn't sound right. There's something about that doesn't ring true. I mean, these people have a lot of reasons to hate us, according to them. They don't need something from this American politician. But anyway, Matt Lauer immediately, instead of even taking the claim seriously, instead of even like examining it a little bit, immediately says, well, you yourself have been caught out lying about people that were protesting on 9/11. And you yourself in your book say that you create fantasies, harmless. And what's the difference between you and that? I mean, it's a kind of journalism that doesn't really develop stories, and it doesn't really highlight on the issue of the day. It's just to attack people and discredit them. And I just Matt Lauer is supposed to be a very high IQ person. And if he's so smart, I don't understand why he doesn't draw the obvious conclusion that in this kind of interaction with Trump, and I'm not trying to create Trump into a superhero or anything. It's just that, and I'm not saying that I back him moreover, but it's we have seen time and again when Trump enters into these kind of interactions with people, he's able to make his points, even though he's calling into this other guy's show, he's able to make his points, and the person who attacks him ends up looking like a fool. How does he do it every time? I really don't know. He's just got a genius at that type of a thing. Scott Adams, who writes the cartoon Dilbert, you remember that I played that for you, and I might play it again for you today, that he's a master wizard, and he creates verbal kill shots. Now, a few things have happened, despite the fact that Matt Lauer is completely ham-handed and is caught, obviously, attacking Trump and not even listening to the story and trying to make it a non-story before he even reports on it. Now we've got a narrative out there. What Scott Adams said that Trump did is he creates verbal kill shots. So here's a verbal kill shot that's going to stick to Hillary. In the same way that Jeb Bush's, the low energy. Now you hear Jeb Bush, no matter what he does, you have this image of low energy. Now, every time you listen to Hillary, you're going to think of liar, that the fact that it's been proven now, basically, they don't have any evidence of this so-called recruiting tool, and it throws everything she says, everything else she says, into question. And I think it is an extremely, whether you like this guy or not, and there's a lot to like, possibly, there's a lot to dislike, possibly, depending on your take on everything. He's devastatingly effective at these verbal kill shots. And you can disagree with where he comes from, but I don't really think that you can disagree with the fact that what he is doing is extremely effective. It's extremely effective, and it's a devastating a way to approach, a devastating way to approach interacting with Hillary Clinton. I don't see that she survives this. She's too vulnerable. And I think that Trump is the person who stands up to her, who takes her out at the knees. Anyway, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, just my opinion. Call me up if I'm mistaken, 523-1450, and we'll be back to continue on with this storyline a little bit.
Have yourself a merry new Christmas. Make the season bright. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
All right, I'm looking for this statement by the governor that's basically a apology for this party that went on. And so anyway, it's funny. I'm not seeing a lot in the news cycle about this, and I'm just kind of curious about it. I thought it was kind of a big story when it came out, but it doesn't really look like it's resonated. And probably, probably the upshot is that, and I'm trying to multitask here. I think the fact that Susanna had apologized it has something to do with the fact that, I mean, she's kind of knocked it down. But anyway, according to NPR, National Public Radio, she was, if you didn't listen yesterday, I played the tape. And basically, there's a party going on, and they're trying to kick these people out of the hotel, and it turns out to be the governor. And there was some noise complaints and stuff, and she said that she had been in there eating pizza with her sister, that there was a claim that someone had been throwing bottles off the roof or off this balcony, and so she apologized and. So, and I'm just looking for anything that I can quote here from the apology. I've just got to find something from the New York Daily News here. But basically, that the apology was that she was trying to basically get these cops kind of sent back and. And so the police, there's this kind of discussion over who reported it. And, the governor is saying, basically, you don't need to worry about it. I'm just, here with my sister. So in the complaint, in the apology, she said that, she apologized and she takes, so here's what she said. I believe in people accepting responsibility, and that is why I'm owning up to what happened, and I sincerely apologize. And that she admitted to having one cocktail at the Saturday evening party, said that she was not drunk, and that here's another part. Martinez's spokesman Chris Sanchez said the noisy antics happened long before Martinez got to the room. Quote, unbeknownst to the governor, there had been complaints about noise and someone throwing what turned out to be snowballs from the balcony of that room earlier in the night while the governor was in the ballroom. So, and she says, I want to apologize for the conduct of my staff the night of the holiday party. There was apparently a party in a hotel room earlier in the night that was disruptive and someone was throwing snowballs from the balcony. None of that should have happened. I was not aware of the extent of the behavior until recently. That behavior is not acceptable. And I also want to admit that I made a mistake when I went to speak to the receptionist and ask her about the complaint. I should not have gotten involved in trying to resolve the situation, nor should I have spoken to the dispatcher on the phone. Ultimately, the situation was under control. It should have been handled much differently, and I am responsible for that. All right. That's all good. The only thing that doesn't make sense to me about that, I mean, if the governor owns up to it, then, just a little bit of a party there. But the one thing that doesn't make any sense, and maybe she wasn't in the room and had no knowledge of it, but saying that throwing bottles off the roof was mistaken, or throwing snowballs off this balcony, which must have been up a fair amount, was mistaken for snowballs. Or snowballs were mistaken for bottles, because as everybody knows, if you throw a bottle off a building, it's going to break and make a sound, which a snowball is really not going to do. But anyway, having addressed that, all right, so I've got this clip. I'm going to play for you again when we come back, a clip from Scott Dilbert on why he thinks that Obama is going to win, or pardon me, Obama, Trump is going to win. And it is going to explain his theory that Trump is a master wizard. I'm going to play it for you because I want you to have it in mind as the campaign keeps going and grinding along. and Trump goes after Hillary. I think what he does is he tries to find the thing that is most quintessential about one of his opponents, capitalize on it, and then take advantage of it in such a way that it incapacitates his opponent. It's a kind of a brilliant way to go about it. And he's got even Kenny Rogers, the famous country and Western singer, saying that he agrees with a lot of what he hears. I think a lot of people agree with what they hear the Donald saying. They just feel like the way he says it sometimes is insensitive. And he says it in such a way that it's kind of overkill. But anyway, we'll be back and talk about that a little bit more. 523-1450 if you want to comment or talk about anything else, and we'll be right back. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, Cali O'Connell. 523-1450, that's 523-1450.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be far away.
All right, so here is this statement by Dilbert creator Scott Adams on Donald Trump's linguistic kill shots.
Trump is a set of skills that are so deep and so exquisite, it would be hard for me to imagine anybody beating him. And so I've predicted he'll go all the way and win the presidency.
Donald Trump has a way with words and people.
I will be phenomenal to the limit. I have many Hispanics working for me, many, many Hispanics.
We're rounding them up in a very humane way, in a very nice way, and they're going to be happy to vote for me because we're going to make America great again.
But the media don't get it, and he doesn't appreciate it.
You know, some of the media is among the worst people I've ever met. And I mean, a pretty good percentage is really a terrible group of people.
Scott Adams, prolific author, blogger, and creator of Dilbert, thinks they're all getting trolled.
Well, I'm saying, I see a flamethrower. I think the flamethrower guy wins in the stick fight.
Though he doesn't support Trump or any other candidate, he believes that Trump is in fact a master wizard.
The idea of the master wizard hypothesis says that there are some people in the world, living people, were masters of persuasion. They've got a linguistic gift for influencing people, and they're using actual technique. What I saw in Trump was someone who was highly trained, and that a lot of the things that the media were reporting as sort of random insults and bluster and just Trump being Trump looked to me like a lot of deep technique that I recognize from the fields of hypnosis and persuasion. So let me give you a few examples of the technique that Trump uses. There's something that I call the linguistic kill shot. And what that is a engineered set of words that essentially changes an argument or ends it so decisively. I call it a kill shot. So one of the ones that Donald Trump used was when he referred to Jeb Bush being a low energy guy.
Very, very low energy. So low energy that every time you watch him, you fall asleep.
Yes, Donald, you cannot take more energy tonight.
That.
Or when he referred to Carly Fiorina as a robot.
Like a robot. Ba, ba, ba. Like a robot.
Or Carson as nice.
Ben is a nice man.
He's actually a really nice guy.
All of these have the same quality. They're words you haven't heard in the political realm before. So they're sort of virginal words that he can use the way he wants. They don't have a lot of baggage with them. But they also perfectly fit what you are already thinking about these people. They weren't random insults. And once you hear it, you can never get it out of your mind. That's how powerful it is. You notice that he insults people that come at him.
I'm telling you, anybody that would view it that way has to be a little bit of a deviant.
And he also compliments people quite effusively when they're nice, or at least they're not bothering him.
I think they like me in a certain way, which is nice. It's always nice to be liked.
So what he's done is he's created a fairly large gap between insulting Trump, where he'll take you down, or being nice to him, where he'll take you up.
It sounds like you're saying I have leverage over the Republican Party, so they better be nice to me.
Well, essentially, I want to be treated fairly. That's true. I do want to be not nice.
You go against him, you know there's a little bit more to lose. An anchor is something big and visual and emotional that takes you off of whatever you were thinking before just because it's a bigger thought. So, for example, when Trump was in his first debate
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals.
That was a terrible thing for him to answer with a direct answer, but he didn't do that.
Your Twitter account?
Only Rosie O'Donnell.
Immediately, you go to this big visual. Everybody knows her. His base probably has a negative feeling about her. And all the headlines became about Rosie O'Donnell instead of, is Trump a sexist?
I blurted out the name Rosie O'Donnell, and the place went crazy. And it really had a big impact on her questioning.
Kind of brilliant. He does the same thing with his idea for immigration and for the wall. The wall is this big, visual, magnificent thing in your head.
It will be a real wall. It'll be a wall that works. It'll actually be a wall that will look good. A big, beautiful, powerful wall. It can have a gate. It can have a door. Have a tremendous, beautiful, wide open door. Nice big door.
Even if you hate it, it's still big and visual, and it takes all the attention in that direction, and that's what he wants. One of the things that Trump does really well is he uses a type of linguistic judo. For example, there was one interviewer who said, you're kind of a whiner.
Rich Lowry says that you are the most fabulous whiner in the world. And
instead of saying, no, I'm not a whiner, Trump embraced it like judo. He took the force of the label and said,
I am a whiner, and I'm a whiner, and I keep whining and whining until I win. And I'm going to win for the country, and I'm going to make our country great again.
So he changed whiner into the biggest voice for change. And he did it with just a few words. It's amazing. Likewise, if Trump says anything about capitalism in the context of the Pope, it's just not going to come out right. So instead, Trump doesn't take the bait.
What do you say in response to the Pope?
I'd say ISIS wants to get you.
It's such a big, bold thought.
You talk to you about capitalism,
that.
You scare
I,
the
no,
Pope?
No, I'm going to have to scare the Pope.
All your attention just goes to that. He uses vagueness as a tool. This is a trick I learned in hypnosis class. Sometimes you want to tell a story in a way that lets people fill in the blanks with whatever would make them the happiest. So if Trump has a vague idea about foreign policy,
just like I have the Chinese banks in my buildings, they listen to me, they respect me.
Your vague idea about the economy.
My economy will expand so rapidly. We're going to take jobs back from other countries.
Your vague idea about how to handle ISIS.
I would end ISIS forcefully.
People fill in the blanks with brilliant plans that are their own plans. It's more of a strategy than you imagine it is. But he has another thing going for him. He's developed the Trump persona over many years. He can do what nobody can do as a politician. He can change his mind.
Raising the Social Security retirement age to 70. Is that still your point?
Yeah, not anymore.
He can say, I'm not going to tell you what I'll do. I'll just hire good people to do it.
I have the smartest people on Wall Street lined up already.
And he also can tell a joke. He can be outrageous.
I'm worried if you're president, I'll get deported. All right? That's what
no,
I'm worried
never
about.
Be. We're going to try like hell to keep you here, Bill.
You see apple pie and flags and eagles coming out of his ass when he talks. A lot of people ask me what could bring down Donald Trump. Probably there's no defense, and that's why I've predicted he probably will win the presidency based just on skill.
All right, so that clip, which I think I played before, I just wanted it in your mind as this campaign evolves, that the people that he turns his vision on, his skill set or whatever you want to call it, are going to get zapped. And Hillary just got zapped, and it is a devastating zap because he cut to the core of who she is. He claims that she lies like crazy. Now, apply that to the situation, which is her getting up and saying repeatedly, not only is Trump a bad person because he is a bigot or whatever, he's racist, he's got a bad take on religion, but ISIS has personally profited from this by taking his statements and turning them into movies or videos or whatever. Now, Trump calls her out on that and says, show me one of these videos. What are you talking about? I can't find them. My people can't find them. Hillary's people couldn't find them either because she just made it up because it sounded plausible. Because she wanted to show what Trump is so bad that he helps the enemy. And so I believe that Hillary has done a tremendous damage to herself. And as the days go by, Trump is now going to pound daily on the lie issue, because what's more important in a politician than being somebody you can trust? Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, that's just my take on it. 523-1450. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450, 523-1450. And we'll be back. I got this crazy story about this girl who went insane in Vegas with her car running people over that I wanted to get to as well. So we'll talk about that in the near future. All right, so it's 6:52. Just got a couple minutes left in this segment. You've got a game last night between the Lions and the Saints, and pretty much both of these teams are out of it already, but I'll play the clip for you, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about Odell Beckham.
Vintage day hits. Calvin Johnson over the middle finds Eric Ebron for 45 yards, threw for three touchdowns. Stafford ends up with 22 points, three TDs, sets the Lions record, completing 88% of his passes. Golden Tate projected for 8.9 points, Tate with two touchdowns. Drew Brees projected for 19.3 points. Now we'll stick with Golden Tate here. Tate ends up with 16.6, receiving 45 yards, two touchdowns. Drew Brees projected for 19.3 points. Brees, bit of a slow start. I just want to keep giving you Drew Brees. Fine, Tate. Again, six receptions, 45 yards, two scores. There's Brees working the shoulders. Projected, again, 19.3 points. Bit of a slow start, though. Battled an ankle injury here in the first half, but comes back in the second half with three touchdown passes. Brees ends up with 26 points in this game, 34-52, 341 yards, and those three scores. One of them to this guy, Brandon Cooks, projected for 8.4 points. Cooks, with one touchdown, called back after the review in the first half, catches one in the second half, on with a bevy of other catches. Cooks finished with 18 points, 10 receptions, 124 yards, and the score. Joyce Bell projected for just 4.3 points. Cooks giving you 18 points now to Joyce Bell.
All right, 35 to 27. I don't know what this lady's talking about, projected points, but it's kind of aggravating. All right, so Kim Jr. suspended. There was a game in which the Giants played the Panthers, and it was a very close game. And Odell Beckham, who's considered by some people the best up-and-coming receiver, the Panthers got in his head, and he flipped out, and now he's suspended for a game.
NFL Live OT, Trey Wingo here with Merrill Hodge, Ron Jaworski, and Antonio Pierce. Big news on Monday, of course, Odell Beckham Jr., one-game suspension for his actions on the field, specifically the way he targeted Josh Norman, the cornerback for the Carolina Panthers, when he ran at him with that helmet-to-helmet collision. Did they get it right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah, first of all, you know, there's the standard of player safety, and I will – both these guys will agree to me, every player who's played and currently playing, there's one thing that always disturbs players. If you deliberately try to hurt somebody and you jeopardize their career, that is the thing that disturbs players more than anything. And watching that, it was so egregious. It was so deliberate. And there was so much malice in the act. That's what was disturbing. You know, people are comparing it to some other, you know, deliberate acts. This one had as much malice in it as I've ever seen. Because when you get thrown by, you turn around and they go, well, the play was still going on. Fine, then help out your guy. But don't try to target one guy in the way you did it. That alone clearly had to be suspended and send a message to every player defensively and offensively, unacceptable.
I was very fortunate last as a player 17 years. Been covering the NFL now for 25 years with ESPN. That's 42 years I've been around the game. That is the worst I have ever seen.
The worst you've ever seen?
The worst I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of nasty stuff from the Conrad Dobler days and the Jack Hacksaw Reynolds and on and on and on. This was awful. And this league with this commissioner now, and I applaud the commissioner because he is about player safety and player safety issues. The fine was certainly warranted. The suspension is warranted. And now we move on. That simple.
Yeah, for as violent as the game is, and things happen so quickly. But I think when you hit on him, when you turn around and you say, I'm making up my mind that I'm gonna hurt you.
Well, yeah.
Now I'm gonna hurt you. I'm gonna take you out. It's not a place for that in the game.
All right, so it was an egregious act, but he's a young player. All right, so the standings, I'm just going to see if I can find the standings for you real quick here. AFC East, New England Patriots on top by 3 games, and they've clinched. Cincinnati Bengals on top by a couple of games. They've clinched, but they've lost their quarterback. Texans fighting it out with the Indianapolis Colts for the AFC South. And then you've got the AFC West. Denver Broncos have yet to clinch, 10-4. And nipping at their heels, Kansas City Chiefs, 9-5. Now in the NFC, you've got Washington Redskins, 7-7. Philadelphia Eagles, 6-8. New York Giants, 6-8. They're all fighting it out. The Dallas Cowboys are out. Green Bay Packers have clinched. Minnesota Vikings, 9-5. And that's it for that division. Carolina Panthers obviously have clinched the whole thing, 14-0, and on the verge of a historic season. And then you've got the Arizona Cardinals, 12-2. They clinched. And Seattle, not 3 games behind. They're in the playoffs as well, 9-5. So that's what it's looking like for the up-and-coming playoffs that are right around the corner. All right, so I want to get into this story a little bit on this crazy lady that ran down all these people in Las Vegas. She's supposed to be a model. She's supposed to have a designer fashion line that she supposedly created. I read about her. She just sounds like a nutcase to me. 659 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 523-1450 on 1450 KOBE. And we're going to be back after the break on the hour. We're going to talk about that story and a few more.
Faithful friends who are dear to us, travel near to us once more. Through the years we all together, if the fates are brightest star.
All right, 7:06, and of course, Walt is here, and Walt had heard coming in the show and the comments about the fantasy football.
Yeah.
And so he and I got into this kind of this heated agreement about hating fantasy sports.
Well,
Walt?
Well, you were playing that clip, and through the whole thing, she wasn't telling you, you know, how many yards they gained or how many points they scored. It was all projected points. Well, he was projected to get 34 points and he actually got 23. It's ruining the sport. You watch, people don't watch anymore to hope that their favorite team wins.
But you know, it's not a real, you know, fantasy football has got a great title because it is fantasy. It's not real,
but it is if you're betting on it. And that's what has changed the whole thing is DraftKings and there are two of them. And they're millions of dollars, and it's all done online. And, you can change your – it's not like old fantasy football where you draft at the beginning of the year and that's your team. You can change it every week. And so you go into sports bars and you see this. The people aren't – I'm a Broncos fan. I will go into the sports bar with my Broncos shirt and my Broncos hat, and I will find the TV that has the Broncos game, and I will watch the – people go in there, don't care who wins or loses the game. All they care is how did my guy do. How many points did my quarterback get?
It's awful.
It's going to ruin the purity, the love of why we watch the sport, I really think.
So I grew up playing sports, and then, I don't obviously play anymore. But, I enjoy watching and everything. But the thing that I hate is hearing about anything about fantasy leagues. I have studiously avoided it.
Yeah.
I don't want to get sucked into something like that that is fundamentally fictitious.
And I say all of that and I mean all of that, but I will throw in a little caveat, and that is that
you're in a league,
baseball league. I am in a fantasy baseball league that Teddy Feinberg started like 5 years ago, and it's the same group of guys, and it's a great league, and it's one of my joys. But baseball is different a little bit.
All right, so let's talk about Odell Beckham. Here's the premier, what some people think is the premier athlete in the entire NFL, and he not only puts his game aside for a significant portion of the game and fights with this Josh Norman guy who's an elite corner, but he also tries to hurt him. And I really was shocked that the officials let that go on.
Absolutely. That's I'm glad you started with that, because that, For as bad as Beckham was, you have to start with the officials. I mean, it's their job to nip that in the bud the first time it happens. And then you don't get an eighth and ninth and tenth time, which is what happened in this game. It kept escalating because nothing, they would, if they did call anything, it was offsetting penalties and nothing happens. And so. Yeah.
But here's you've got a game that meant a lot to the Giants. I believe it represented their season.
Yeah.
And you've got the number one receiver on the team. And some people think he's the number one receiver in the league in terms of making athletic plays. He's the guy that famously caught the one-handed catch in the end zone and just, reached straight up and caught a ball and came down with it in one hand. But, I think the Giants win that game possibly if Beckham isn't doing that.
So it's incredibly selfish is the point you're making. And I completely agree. It's one of those things. I understand, especially at that position, wide receiver and defensive back, where you're kind of isolated and you're going against each other. And I understand how, somebody takes a cheap shot and, I got to get him back. And like I said, that's why you have officials there to stop that.
It reminds me of a little bit when the pitcher, who was the pitcher for the Yankees that came out of Texas?
Clemens, yeah.
When he hit Mike Piazza in the head.
Yeah.
And Mike Piazza had like a 600 batting average against him and had to hit a couple of home runs. And Roger Clemens puts this guy's life at stake by hitting him in the head with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. That, to me, is the same thing. I mean, Clemens should have been sent to jail for that. I mean, it knocked Piazza out. It could have killed him.
Well, and for me in sports, the more obvious examples are in hockey. I mean, I'm trying to think that it was an Avalanche guy who got hit, and I can't remember who it was, but he's skating down the ice, and the guy comes up from behind and just, you know, takes the back of his head and rams him head first into the ice. There was one occasion, I think, or two in hockey where it was so egregious that they did file criminal charges, assault, or because it was totally beyond the bounds of the game. But I think in all of those contact sports, there's that fine line, yeah. You know, and you want players to be on the edge. You want players to take it, you know, especially at the professional. That's how you get to be a pro.
But they were saying that it was obvious that Odell was trying to hurt Josh Norman.
I agree.
You know, in those leagues, the rate of acceleration and, you know, this physics comes in here. You've got these big guys. Super quick, they can start and stop on a moment's notice.
Yeah,
turn on a dime in this tremendous amount of force, and which is already bringing in this. Every single play represents the possibility that somebody's career ends, and then you bring in somebody that's trying to hurt another elite athlete. I don't know, man. That left her. You know, I'm never going to be able to get that out of my mind when I watch him in the future.
No, I understand what you're saying. Although I will say, you know, back when in the 60s, when I was first watching the game, I mean, there was a lot of stuff where I remember one guy, I think it was one of the fearsome force of it. But anyway, he would do the head slap, but by the time he was done taping his hand and wrist, it was basically a club.
Uh-huh.
And he would just spin the whole game clubbing the other guy in the head, you know? And so they have cleaned it up. But yeah, I saw the tape you were showing, and it was clear one after another, after another, after another, where he's either taking a swing or taking a punt, a kick, or, you know, clearly doing things that should have gotten him thrown out of the game.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure it was both ways, and I don't know what started it. But
yeah.
All right, so let's take a little break here and come back. And I want to ask you, because I was surprised that it wasn't in the media more. The governor had this kind of crazy recording of this room.
Yeah.
And then she apologizes. It's like out of the news cycle. And I'm just wondering what your take on it is and what it would mean for her future. 7:13, Kelly O'Connell here with Walt Rubel from the Sun News. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450, 523-1450. We'll be right back to dig into that juicy story.
Old December's here at last, time for celebration. Christmas present, Christmas past, tumble down together like the snow. What a show.
All right, so I've got Walt here, and I was wondering, I mean, somebody told me, to be totally honest, I hadn't even heard of the story, and a couple of days ago someone had said, have you heard that recording from the governor? And I'm like, no, what are you talking about? So I decided I'd play it the next morning. Well, somebody had called in and asked for it. I think it was Tekashi. But then when I heard it, it sounded like a spoof. It was like something from the Comedy Channel.
Well, boy, certainly the tone of her voice, and we should probably set this up real quickly. What we're talking about is the tape that was released of the governor's call to dispatch. Last week, she held her office party at the La Fonda Hotel in Santa Fe, and apparently 200 people in the ballroom had a band playing, you know, a big office party. After the party was over, the governor was in her room on the fourth floor when the police were called to the room. There had been a noise complaint, and apparently the person who made the noise complaint also alleged that bottles had been thrown out the window of the fourth floor room that the governor was renting for the night.
And I saw a meme, you know, a meme, folks, yeah. Is when you have a little picture on the internet and there's some text attached to it that's supposed to be iconic or comedic. And it's the world's most interesting guy. That what beer does he sell?
I want to say Dos Equis.
Dos Equis,
yeah.
And it says, it just made me howl with laughter. Above it, it says, "I don't personally throw bottles out of hotel windows, but if I did, it would have been 6 hours ago." And it was like, oh my God! And so this person who's showing me this showed me like 20 different pictures that just blew up on the media. But here, I've got it. Might as well play a little clip.
Yeah.
Of this.
So anyway, so the police show up at the room, and the governor is trying very desperately to find out who made the call. And okay, that's the setup.
All right. So so here's the governor after Christmas party, and here's just a little bit of her clip of what happened. Well, I've somehow stumbled across a clip that has I'll have to keep looking. All right, so I'll find a clip of this, but Walt, what was your reaction when you first heard this?
Well, kind of like yours. I was really I am right now really surprised that it didn't get picked up on the national media, because it is such a classic. I mean, you're at a Christmas party, you've had a few too many. You're the governor, the cops show up at your room and you start throwing your weight around. And so, you know, I think the timing, I should also say, we were talking in the break that the very next day, the story in the Santa Fe New Mexican comes out about the FBI looking into what is an old story, but you know, those of us here in Las Cruces, have known about it for, I think, going back to the first election, where there was a negatory bumper sticker, the La Tejana, when they were doing that on a car. And she requested one of her staffers alleges that she requested that they run the license plates and, you know, find out whose car that is for whatever nefarious reasons. And so that fits into this same thing She's desperately trying to find out who made that call, and one can only wonder is what would happen to that person if she ever got that information.
All right, so there's three clips here, but I played the whole thing yesterday as one clip, and here is her interaction with dispatch supervisor.
CCS, this is Heather. How can I help you?
Yeah. Tell me what the issue is.
I'm sorry?
Tell me what the issue is, please, over here at the El Dorado Hotel on the fourth floor.
I didn't know that there was an issue going on, ma'am.
Oh, I didn't think you did. Tell me why you have two officers here.
We have a call at the El Dorado Hotel saying that there's a party in a room.
Who?
So they called us and asked us to send somebody out there?
Who did?
The front desk.
Oh, the front desk did.
Yes.
Now tell me where the front desk got that complaint from.
I don't have that information. You'd have to talk.
And so you just sent police over to shut down a room?
To go speak to individuals about a party.
Okay, so we're sitting in there. I'm the governor of the state of New Mexico, and we're in there with my sister, who's disabled, along with about six other people who are having pizza.
Okay.
Tell me why.
Still there?
Yes, they are.
Okay. I'm showing that we have a commander there as well.
Who's the commander?
He said what?
Who's the commander?
Anthony Tapia.
Anthony Tapia? Hello, commander. Yes, why does it require three police officers to be here?
Their response is up to them depending on the severity of the call.
We're all in a room. eating pizza. Okay, well, that wasn't what was reported to us. What was reported to you? That there was a party and people were throwing bottles in the, off the balcony. I'm sorry, there's no one on the balcony, and there's no one throwing bottles off of the balcony. And if there were, it was about 6 hours ago. Okay. Well, we got a complaint from the front desk and asked us to send units out, so we did. And the front desk got that complaint from whom? I don't know. They didn't advise us of that.
They didn't advise you of which other room?
No,
complaint
they didn't.
Okay.
They didn't.
So it was a general complaint.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Commander? Can I speak with you, please? What is the complaint? I don't know. I'm going to go in bottles off. I've been in that room for at least 2 hours, and if there was, it was about 6 hours ago. Everything. We are eating pizza and drinking Cokes, and whoever is throwing bottles is not there. Hasn't been there for like 6 hours. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. There's no necessity for your office to be here.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll call them off.
Goodbye.
Yikes. P.S. You're fired.
Ooh, it's just kind of chilly, isn't it? I mean, kind of sends a shiver up your spine.
Oh, so anyway, all right. So I played it yesterday because, you know, basically, I hadn't really heard it, and I was kind of curious about it myself, and somebody called up, and I wanted to get it out there. It is newsworthy, but...
You're right, though. The tone of her voice is so over the top that it does sound like a parody. It sounds like a Saturday Night Live or, you know, one of those phone prank type things. I mean, yeah, I really am surprised that didn't get picked up on the national news. I mean, just pick a snippet you want. Anyone, or, you know, one of the, if not even national news, one of the left wing, you know, Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, one of those shows.
Yeah, because, I mean, she is she's a star of the party.
I think this says that she's not. I mean, I think if she were, I mean, if this came out and local media has it and has had it for days, and she really were a rising star in the Republican Party. You don't think that would be all over Rachel Maddow and Lawrence O'Donnell and those kinds of shows?
Could it be the season, the Christmas season?
You think so? They're just being they're being benevolent. They're
you're,
being
you're the guy that's working in the medium. You know, you tell me.
No, I don't think we observe that in our profession.
All right, so you think that this means that she's not on the national stage anymore? That she's not?
I do. I don't know how else you would interpret that.
So, well, I mean, so she gave this great speech at the well-received speech at the convention,
right.
and you're saying she's not in the mix anymore. What happened?
Well, and she, to be fair, she was just named head of the Republican Governors Association. So that should have been an indication that at least there are people in the Republican establishment somewhere along the line trying to prop her up as one. But I don't think for whatever reason you say what happened. I think part of it is just, you know, to be honest, the national media doesn't pay a lot of attention to what's going on in New Mexico. I think she hasn't been on the TV shows. I mean, that's how you keep your name out in the national media is you go on the Sunday shows or, you know, you do something nationally, you make big speeches or, you know, she hasn't really done anything after that speech at the RNC to kind of capitalize on that. And, you know, and on top of that, you look at her record as governor here in New Mexico and there's nothing really
substantive.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that you would there's certainly no one thing or no one accomplishment that you would say, you know, this sets me apart. Or,
well, let me ask you this. And I know that you probably I know you well enough, Walt, to know that you're probably identify center left. But from what you've heard from the GOP or your conservative friends, what has been the what is people reaction to the governor she's been in now, what, 6 years?
Yeah, I think probably mixed. I think there's frustration and there is a lot of legitimate blame. She has never had a working reliable partner in the legislature. The Democrats have tried to block her sometimes just for the sake of blocking her, I think. I also think that she's contributed to that as well. I think the driver's license issue is a good example where there was a compromise to be had her first year in office that would have required fingerprinting, that would have required, I think, background checks, that would have required, you know, they would have had to be renewed, I think, every year or at the most every 2 years. And so really, I mean, if your concern is just security, there really were things in that bill that would have addressed that concern, but she rejected it. She wanted all or nothing. And 7 years later, she wants the same thing. And 7 years later, we have the same situation that she came into office with.
All right. So, but you don't see her in a future cabinet?
I
like, you know, if
maybe
Trump or
maybe,
you know, Cruz or whatever. I mean, it seems to me nationally she's the most prominent Hispanic female.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It seems so crass to say it that way, but that would be the reason why, is they would be checking boxes.
Well, you know, I used to work for her, and she's a very capable, a real smart, very charming person. And
but that was as a prosecutor.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think she did a very good job. As you know, I would suggest that she did better than the Democrat who's held the office for the last few years. My opinion, for what it's worth.
Sure.
So, yes, I think that if she ever decided to come back here and run for DA again, I think she would win easily, and I think she would do a good job.
I wonder if there's any chance she'll come back and run for DA.
I don't know. It's a step down, obviously.
Probably not. I mean, she would be maybe well situated to be a U.S. senator, but I wonder if that would interest her.
Well, and, you know, Pete Domenici is the last Republican U.S. senator from New Mexico, and I, no disrespect, but I'm not sure she's a Pete Domenici.
Well, no, but the thing is that we've got a state that has been purple in the past. It's been red at times. It's been blue at times. We self-identify as fairly liberal here, fairly Democratic, but I mean, she's got the stature to challenge either one of the senators.
She does, but so did Heather Wilson, in my opinion. I thought Alan Way was an impressive guy. I still think Alan Way is an impressive guy. And I just disagree a little bit. I think you look at New Mexico, and it takes a special person, a Pete Domenici, I think, on the Republican side to win a statewide race at the senatorial level.
Yeah.
Because it
but
is.
But how does she do it then as the governor's, which is the same? The same thing, you know, statewide, you know,
it is
prominent.
The same thing in terms of being a statewide race. I just think it's a little bit different. I mean, if you look at the history of the state, it shows that, and I saw the same thing in Kansas and Wyoming on the opposite side, where their Congress people were always Republican, but at the statewide level, they were willing to consider a Democrat as a governor. I can't really explain why that is. I just think that. Well, I can kind of explain it. When you're running for Senate, you can always say that a vote for the other person is a vote for Harry Reid or whoever the leader is. You know, you can always make that argument, whereas running for governor is different. It's you're running on your own.
Yeah. Well, folks, we're here with Walt Rubel, and we were talking about Susanna and the recent story that came out, but really about her future and what that holds. And I heard a lot of people say that she wanted to be vice president.
Well, I don't doubt that she wanted that. I think realistically, cabinet position, and I don't think that this ruins that. I think it muddies it. I think it puts her through an embarrassing, you know, questions when it goes to the Senate, and whether she wants to go through that or not, I don't know.
But she did apologize. She did accept the responsibility and apologize.
And we should state for the record, for what it's worth, that the governor's office said, no. It wasn't bottles. It was snowballs.
Yeah, that's, to me, the most improbable part of the entire story. You're up 40 or 50 feet.
Yes, the fourth floor.
And you've got objects flying off your balcony, and they're hitting the ground, and you mistake a snowball for a bottle?
Well, let's start with this. Start with the fact that her initial denial, if you want to call it that, was, well, there may have been people throwing bottles off the fourth floor balcony, but that was 4 hours ago or 6 hours, whatever.
I think that's a splendid response.
Yeah, so why are you concerned about that
now? The funny thing about that was that she seemed to be aware that 6 hours ago someone threw a bottle off.
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't denying that it happened.
Surreal.
Surreal.
All right.
What is the statute of limitations for bottles off a fourth floor?
It's got to be more than 6 hours. Here we got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Dee Dee. I'm listening to the conversation, and Susanna has to defend herself when she's in Democratic grounds. And if you haven't been up north and you want to defend yourself from down here, ooh, watch out.
Well, what? Okay, so what are the implications, Dee Dee? What is that?
Oh, I think she left us.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure. I thought you asked the right question. I'm not sure.
Okay, so she's got to defend herself on Democratic grounds, and if you're down here, watch out. What is
it? I think the point she may have been making is that northern New Mexico, the Santa Fe region, is very liberal, very much more liberal than we are here.
But what does that? I mean, what does that have to do with what just happened?
I'm not sure. I wish she'd have stayed on the line. For people who call in, stay on the line. We want to talk to you.
But what I'm just kind of wondering. Okay, so she says to defend yourself from down here in a very liberal place, look out. I don't understand.
Maybe what she thinks it's an unfair attack.
On Susanna?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Okay, well, 733, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KLBE, and 523 1450. If you think we've been unfair to the governor, please call in and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Now the snowman someone made is melting by the roadside. On the wind a serenade, children's voices sing.
Hello, is somebody there? Is anybody there? All right, so here with Walt Rubel and somebody, I'm still trying to, I found the call just a minute ago a little bit cryptic, but is there the sense that we've been unfair to the governor?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm surprised this has been picked up more in the national news. And I would also argue, we decided to play it inside. We discussed putting it on the front page, but we put it on, I think, 3 or 5. It certainly has that, when you listen to the tape, I mean, that's the value to it. The reading it really doesn't do it justice. Obviously, I don't think it's unfair. It happened. We're reporting what happened, and we're commenting on it.
I don't think it means the governor's a terrible person or anything. I'm more than anything, I found it entertaining.
Yeah, I always find entertaining the next day the apologies that are always cloaked in the excuses, and in this case, I'm just trying to imagine. So they're saying what happened. Was people went outside, and obviously there must have been snow on the ground. They gathered up a whole bunch of snowballs. They put them in their pockets or whatever. However, they got them up to the fourth floor of the hotel, went out to the balcony, and then started chucking. And that's why we should not be concerned that anything would require the attention of local authorities.
All right. So how about some local stuff? Kiki and the jail and the county.
I mean, that story really hasn't moved forward other than we were scheduled to have a trial, which I don't understand. You're an attorney. Maybe you can explain this to me.
All right. So they go in front of the judge and you've got this emergency, temporary
restraining order.
TRO. So that stops somebody from doing something.
Right. So they are now going to go to court in late January to argue about a temporary restraining order involving, can I, on an emergency basis, march my troops into the jail today? That was the argument that was decided on December 8th. Now, at the end of January, we're going to go into court and argue over a temporary restraining order. What are they arguing about? I don't get it.
All right. You want me to explain this?
I do.
TRO, a temporary restraining order to get someone to stop doing something, or it could be to get somebody to stop from stopping something.
Okay.
The city wants to shut down the bus service, and you go and get a TRO to keep them from
doing it. But that's different because it's not
an
emergency.
Do you want me to explain this, or do you want to speculate?
No, I'm sorry, but all I'm saying is the difference between this and the bus service is that the bus service is an ongoing, everyday thing. This was a one-time emergency.
I'm trying to use an analogy to explain it for the people that are not attorneys, one of which is
I'm shutting up.
Is you. Okay, so you've got this thing coming into the court, temporary restraining order. At the moment, there was this crisis or whatever that the sheriff had taken over the jail. So they get a TRO immediately ejecting the Kiki from the jail. But that's temporary. It's got to be heard on the merits. And so then the judge sets up a hearing for it to be heard on the merits because Kiki's not there to defend himself. All right. When this hearing came, at that point, Kiki, according to him, has been blocked by Julia Brown from having an attorney. So he can either hire his own attorney, he can pass the hat, or he can get money from the county. So the judge continues it for approximately 5 weeks so that Kiki can get his attorney. And Kiki told me at that point, it wasn't that big of a deal at that point because it was over anyway.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But in the nature of these things, there has to be another hearing that is set so that these things can be heard. And I think that it could be a lot hanging on this hearing because the judge is then going to decide for everybody else whether this was reasonable or not.
But that's what I don't understand. I mean, Kiki wants the taxpayers to pay for his attorney. So the taxpayers are going to pay for the attorneys on both sides of this argument,
right,
to resolve something is a moot point. He's making two arguments. One is I had to go in because I thought there was going to be a riot. Okay. Is he still saying at the end of January that he's afraid there's going to be a riot?
That's not really the issue here. The issue, in my opinion, is whether it was a well-founded decision to make. In other words, was it, as they say, ultra vires, beyond the powers?
Yeah.
And so the point here, and I don't think you should overlook it, is this will be, for a lot of people, a decision on whether he was acting lawfully or lawlessly.
Okay, I do get that, but I still end up with a so what.
Well,
let's say that the judge rules that the county was not in line. I mean, I guess that means the next time there is a situation exactly like this, that the county would have to act differently. But how likely is that to happen?
No, that's not the issue. The issue, I think, now is whether the sheriff was well-funded. But I think that you've got a – well, here, we've got a phone call.
Okay.
Here, but I'm gonna come back and talk about the two attorneys situation because I think it merits a little bit of examination. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
That is absolutely amazing. Me thinks that governor was 40 sheets to the wind the way she was talking.
Of course she was.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, so the governor was 40 sheets to the wind. It was a Christmas party. So
yeah,
what?
Right.
So what?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, she was, like, I think Walt, you know, was 100% correct, as he always is that she was throwing her weight around. You know, who does she think she is just because she's governor? Which, you know, that you know, she's governor, so what, you know? And then also about this Coke stuff. Well, what is that sing-songy? We just had pizza, commander. You know, my goodness, what kind of a talking is that? What kind of wacky sound is that? And also, they don't drink. You're going to have an office party in a hotel, you're drinking only Coca-Cola? Sure, yeah, right. And pigs don't fly.
I think she said that she had one drink that her husband mixed up for her. But in her defense, her husband has a broad experience in the law enforcement. She, you know, Susanna has been the DA, so she knows how everything runs. Maybe she's just calling up and challenging the need for cops to be there because all it was excessive noise, and you know, it was handled from her perspective.
Well, no, no. I mean, somebody calls and they send a cop because that's probably the de rigueur, you know, the way they do things, you know, in Albuquerque, right? But the other thing about it is it could have simply been if somebody was saying they were throwing bottles off the fourth floor thingy, right? All somebody had to do was go outside and look for shattered glass, and there would have been your proof right there.
Go ahead, Frankie.
Go ahead.
I would want one more point on this. This is the former top law enforcement officer at Dodiata County. She understands why the police have to respond to noise complaints. She understands why the front desk can't tell, you know, the people having the loud party who made the complaint. She understands all that.
And you're 100% correct. You know, so what is the underlying motive? Why does she have to stick her face into this particular instance? You know, so yeah, I mean, it is kind of surprising that the national media, you know, hasn't picked up. Even Yahoo doesn't have anything on it, you know. But, you know, maybe it's because it's such a – and I'm not knocking New Mexico. I think New Mexico is a great state. Maybe because they think this is some backwards hick state.
No, it's a knock on the media. You know? That's a knock on the media. That's not a knock on us. They're not paying attention.
My response is this is much ado about nothing. It's no big deal. There's a Christmas party. They were a little bit loud. Okay, fine. But they had been downstairs and then they relocated upstairs where they wanted a little bit of privacy. Maybe it was a little bit loud. Maybe they didn't throw any bottles off the balcony. And maybe, you know, the governor was just trying to cut off what was going to be an unpleasant end of the party. Maybe that's all there was. It's just
I think you're absolutely 100% correct. And, you know, and in this one particular circumstances, I don't hold it against conservatives. They should be able to celebrate Merry Christmas and get 40 sheets to the wind just like anybody else. So I'm for her on that particular. Have a party, have a lot of fun.
And just in a note of harmony on that, we should also say that I'm certain the state police drove her home at the end of the party. So,
I'm sure, yeah.
So, you know.
That's it. You're no doubt about it. Great use of stat pay. Oh, my goodness. Can't get up. State pay is fun.
So you can't complain about that, Frankie. The state police drive them everywhere.
Thanks a lot, Frankie.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
Merry Christmas. Or Kwanzaa, or whatever you'd celebrate. All right, folks, let's take a little break here, and we'll come back 7:47, Flying the Friendly Skies with Walt Rubel. We'll get a little bit more into the local scene.
I believe in us, I believe. On Christmas morning, you awaken with a smile. You hold me in your arms.
All right, so we're here talking about this, and was explaining to Walt off the air my theory. All right, you've got this situation where one party in the county acts, and then another part of the county goes and gets puts in a lawsuit and stops them. But now you've got a divided county, and what the question that came in before, I think somebody else said, you've got not just one attorney, but you've got three attorneys, and now all three attorneys are working on one side of this issue.
Right.
Now, who is Julia Brown, or for the sake of the argument, the guy who's the head of the county, Golden Earring, Billy Garrett?
Oh, Billy Garrett, yeah.
Who are they to say, before even working out the issue, this part is right and that part is wrong, you get an attorney and the other side doesn't? It seems to me they could have released one of the attorneys, put up what they call a Chinese wall, where you don't talk about it in the office. You set the issue aside while everybody's present and allow one of the attorneys to go in and argue the case. Now, obviously, they didn't want to do that. On top of that, then Julia Brown says, you're not going to get any money for an attorney, from what I understand. I think it would have been better if she wasn't going to let one of the three staff attorneys say, go in and fight it. Here's $3,000. Go hire an attorney. You know, just don't spend a lot of money on it, but obviously, but here, go into, let's see what happens. But
I agree with that to the extent that if it gets down to a point where Kiki has to take money out of his budget, so instead of being spent on law enforcement, it's being spent on attorney, And then I totally agree that, that should not have happened. And we've got three attorneys. It doesn't take three attorneys on the other side to figure this case out. It's not that complicated. Take one of them. But I think this is just my opinion. I think clearly they're doing that to throw their weight around and to play hardball. But I also, this is where I'm just seeing it differently than you. I interpreted that as the county trying to block that or trying to prevent Kiki from going any further with this case.
Right. I mean, obviously at some level in that work.
Yeah, right. Right. But you're saying you think Kiki may not want to go further either.
Well, I mean, at this point, what does Kiki have to gain?
I don't understand what either side has to gain. That's what my original, that's where I started with this whole thing is I don't understand why, you know, once the emergency situation that created the temporary restraining order is no longer in place, I don't understand why that's not the end of the whole shebang.
All right, we're going to come back and finish this up. Got a little behind on my ads, but we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450, 523-1450. So, anyway, just finishing up the show here, and I was talking to Walt off the air about Hillary Clinton and Trump, but I do want to throw in a little story before we move into this next one. An 82-year-old woman called the Brown Deer Police in Milwaukee requesting police come out because she heard someone chanting ISIS is good, ISIS is great while having intimate relations. And so anyway, that was, I guess, something that you don't shout out. So anyway, all right. So Trump says that to Hillary, you claim that they're taking my statements and turning them into videos. There's no evidence for that.
Right. She lied during the debate, during the debate Saturday night.
And I want an apology. And right. You say, who's he to demand an apology?
Well, here's what I say. When Trump goes after Jeb Bush as being low energy, that gains traction. One, because it's true. And two, because Trump is not low energy. And so that works for him. When he goes after Hillary Clinton as being a liar, yes, it's true on the first point, but on the second point, that is the pot calling the kettle black, and everybody knows it.
But I don't think I think you're overlooking the issue. He doesn't really care if people come back and say you're a liar.
Yeah.
It's not really the issue. He wants people, when they think of her, when they think of her statements,
right,
people to think of lie.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, when you do that cloud thing for Hillary Clinton where they take, you know, the words that people associate with her the most, the ones that come up are, you know, untrustworthy. I mean, so I get that. I mean, that is the baggage that she will carry into the race. And he is trying nakedly, blatantly, obviously to exploit that.
And what he's just done with every other person he's come across.
I'm just saying it's not going to work because in this case, one, people already know that Hillary Clinton is a liar. And two, they are in a head-to-head comparison. He is not going to come out any better than she is on that score.
I totally disagree. I think if he brands her as a liar, and she's
already branded. But
no, but listen, hold on a second. He brands her as a liar, and then no matter what else happens, as long as he gets this image in everybody's mind every time they see her, then he wins. I don't know if he wins the race, but we've got another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Karen. I'll make it really quick. This is the reverse of Barack Obama when he was running. Whatever Trump says does not get him in trouble. And I don't like Trump, but I just think that this is the reverse of what happened with Obama. It's just, he's just nothing sticks to him at all. And he can go out there and say whatever, and it sticks to the person he slams.
Very true. Thanks for the call. We're running out of time. Any last comments?
That has been true to this point. People have not gone to the voting booth yet. I still think that at some point in time that the people will weigh those statements and it will come back in the final judgment.
All right. Well, we appreciate Walt coming on as always, and have a great day. We'll meet you back in 22 hours. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell. Have a great day. Ciao.
And do you love me? And I realize how sweet a love can be. All the memories coming back again, he keeps.